Hello, love, and welcome to the Samoan Scientist Podcast. This episode, I'm going to talk about what I do for my PhD and a bit of question answer from you guys at the end. Welcome back to the Samoan Scientist Podcast. My name is Amy Mazza-Miller. I am the Samoan Scientist. Today, I'm going to talk a little bit about my PhD, what I'm doing at the moment, and how you can help if you want to help with my research. So a PhD is 3 years worth of research, and you can choose your own topic of what you want to research. So for me, I'm exploring the Samoan traditional diet to see if it can prevent the onset of type 2 diabetes in Samoan women here in New Zealand. Unfortunately, a lot of our Pacifica communities, we are minority communities, and they suffer from a lot of health conditions such as type 2 diabetes. And so this is for a range of reasons. Recently, with the cost of living, it is much easier to buy cheaper foods, which are unhealthier foods, compared to buying tomatoes, broccoli, fresh veggies. There's also socioeconomic reasons why Pacifica are more inclined to have health conditions, and also our environment. So in some places there will be 5 fast food chains within 20 meters of within a kilometer of each other. And so when people are living around in this environment and are always exposed to takeaways and unhealthy foods, that definitely influences their choices of foods, particularly when they are working 2 jobs. They don't have time to look after themselves, let alone look after their big families. And so the most easiest and time easy option is to buy takeaways. And so I myself guilty of that as well, because just different lifestyle, environment, socioeconomical factors, and also cost of living. So for me as a researcher, I'm wanting to address this issue, and many people have. There have been great intervention programs such as exercise program. I know the Butterbean Motivation Program, which I have also been on as well. There have also been governmental programs have been implemented, but we are still seeing health conditions like type 2 diabetes be the leading causes of health inequalities, be the leading causes sometimes of death for our Pacifica communities. So I'm wanting to look at a different angle and seeing how can we address type 2 diabetes within Samoan women. And I'm wanting to explore the Samoan traditional diet, going back in time and what our ancestors used to eat. So during the 1800s, when the first missionaries came to Samoa, which is the Pacific island, a very small Pacific island, majority of the Samoan people ate a diet from the land. So that consisted of galo, breadfruit, fa'i, coconut, yam, and fish, and that was part of their daily diet. They also lived active lives. They had to look after their crops because that was their main option of food. They didn't have the option of going down to the supermarket and getting food, or going through the takeaway shop or going to the takeaway store. And so when we look at our ancestors, they had a really deep connection with the land and a deep understanding of their food. They were physically out in the land, working on the land. They were in the ocean, in the moana. And when we look back at photos of Samoans in the 1800s, they looked healthy. There didn't appear to be anyone who was largely overweight. No records of type 2 diabetes recorded back then. And so for me as a researcher, I'm wanting to see what type of foods were our Samoan ancestors eating. Are they healthy for us? And could we use some of that knowledge today? Could we use a variation of the Samoan traditional foods today so that we can help our own health? Because what is really sad is that a lot of our Pacifica people are suffering with their health just from the food that they are eating. And when I think about type 2 diabetes, it's a preventable disease. Currently, doctors and clinicians recommend that diet and exercise are key when trying to address type 2 diabetes. What I'm also finding is that genetics also has an influence on whether or not a person is less likely or more likely to be diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. And so when I am thinking about food to address type 2 diabetes, I'm thinking about what type of food. And for us in our Samoan culture, we have a very important connection with food. It's a very important part of our culture. It shows our love. It shows our respect for other people. So, for instance, the head of the fish is generally presented to guests or whaifuaus. And so the types of food and the types of parts of food is a really important part of our culture. And so I believe that if we're looking at our food, understanding more about our food, that may be enough for some people to go, okay, the Samoan food is healthy for us in terms of the traditional food. I'm going to incorporate more of this type of food into our diet. And so during my PhD, I'm wanting to explore what are Samoan traditional foods. So that is talking to our Samoan women elders. For my research, I'm looking at women because one part of my study, we're recruiting women and they've already recruited males. So I'm exploring one gender. Also, there's also different components between males and females in terms of biologically, genetically, what we're finding. And also in terms of roles within the Samoan culture, the different roles between males and females. So I'm really wanting to talk to our Samoan elders, our Samoan women elders, about what are Samoan traditional foods and what are their cultural significance. I'm a New Zealand born Samoan and I was adopted into a Balangi family. And I'm just going to check that I'm recording this. Okay, I'm recording. And I was adopted into a Samoan family. And it's only within, basically when I started uni, so maybe within the last 7 years of my life, I am wanting to learn more about my Samoan culture. And I'm exploring that through my research. And so for me, I'm really interested in understanding more about my culture through food. And I feel like as a Samoan woman who's been brought up away from the motherland, I feel that when I learn more about my food, it's connecting me more with my culture. And I feel that maybe second generation born Samoans may have been feeling like that, or, you know, they don't feel brown enough or they don't feel New Zealand enough. And so I'm really wanting to provide that information to the next generation so that they themselves can have the power of the knowledge about Samoan foods and pass it down to the next generation. The other part of my study is looking at genes and how that affects our metabolic health. So for all of us, we're made up of DNA, and within DNA we have genes. Now everyone has different sets of genes. That's what makes us unique. And so what we know is that there are certain genes within Māori and Pacifica populations that are only specific to us. So for instance, there's this gene called the CRIB-RF gene, and it's common in Māori and Pacific populations, but it is rare in European populations, which is super interesting because it's like, damn, we have our own gene. Like, that's pretty cool. And so with this gene, we understand that if you have if you have this CRIB-RF gene, you are more likely to have higher BMI, however, a lower risk of type 2 diabetes, meaning you're less likely to be diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, which is weird because you'd expect if someone has a higher BMI, you're visually expecting someone to be larger. And so you would assume for them to have a higher risk of obesity and higher risk of diabetes. However, if the person has a CRIB-RF gene, it is the opposite. So for my research, I'm wanting to explore why that is and how does that look in Samoan women? We're also exploring metabolic health in Samoan women. So that means, how does our body break down food in terms of our glucose and insulin? And also wanting to understand, what type of foods are our Samoan women here in New Zealand eating? So then we get questionnaires to see what type of foods people are eating and if that consists of the Samoan traditional diet. So I have two components to my research, which is to explore what is Samoan traditional foods by talking to our Samoan woman with that beautiful knowledge. And the other half is looking at the hardcore science, which is what is happening within our genes that affect our metabolic health, and does food have an influence on that? So by looking at the two components, and wanting to address type 2 diabetes and seeing if we can go back to our Samoan traditional diet to prevent our Samoan women from being diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. I chose this project because I really wanted something that I was passionate about, and for me that is learning more about my culture and also helping our community. I also wanted to, as a researcher, I really enjoy lab work, so I really wanted to keep that science component part, which is the genetics, where I do blood work and, that is yet to come, but we'll see how that goes. Just a lot of stuff that I'll be learning, but I also wanted to have the qualitative component, which is in research, is basically just talking to people and hearing people's stories, because that's what I've learned about the podcast. Like, I love hearing people's stories and sharing their stories. And so if you're going to research any project or project that you're creating, it's really important that you decide what you like and what you're really passionate about. And for me, with a PhD, that is 3 years worth of work that I am doing. I'm not always going to be happy with it, so I really wanted something that I was passionate about. I also wanted a project that would be directly helpful once I finished, so that I could go to our community and say, yeah, eat these foods, they're great for you. And we also contributed to knowing more about our genes, so that in the future we can administer appropriate medication to people with certain genes. And so it was really important to have a practical outcome. I feel like for me, just as a person, I'm definitely someone who would prefer information to be easy to understand. I keep in my mind, it's like I'm thinking dumbed down, but it's not dumbed down. It's just that in terms of research, there are researchers who can do the most detailed, intricate work on a protein or a single gene. And that's just not for me. And that's fine. But there are some amazing people who just absolutely love that work. And I'm like, nah. I'm more like surface level. I'm not more like going in depth. So that's, again, why I wanted to choose a research topic that's something I could understand, get my head around, but also relatable for our community. So currently I'm in my second year of my PhD, and I am really needing Samoan women to help with my research. So if you are aged between 18 all the way to 90 years old, I would love for you to message me in order to help me understand more about our Samoan traditional diet. Now I'm going to go over some question and answers that, thank you to the people who message in. So at Vunilangi Vol asked maybe about how A is now part of the acronym and how you might perceive the power and potential of arts to add to the STEM space. So they're referring to a lot, I don't actually know who created the acronym, but there's an acronym called Science, Technology, Engineering and Maths. We refer to it as STEM. But now I'm seeing more people add A into it, which is arts. And so it stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, Arts and Maths. So STEM. And so they're wanting to know how you might perceive the power and potential of arts to add to the STEM space. And I'm a great supporter of the arts. back in high school and also out of high school, I played violin. And before that, I also played flute and piano. And a lot of my confidence and a lot of my self-development came from playing the violin. And even now, even though I don't play it as much, which I'm super angry at myself about it, I always am kind of thinking about it in terms of how the arts can create stories. They allow you to be expressive. I think personally for me, it was an outlet for me to voice or tell my story or voice my feelings, because in high school I was quiet, like shy, didn't talk much. Even now, like, I don't like talking even though I've got a podcast, but I will only talk if it's for a purpose or if it's to help someone or if, you know, the team needs help. And so I'm a big supporter of arts, because when I think of arts, I think of creativity. You need that in science. I feel like science is very rigid, just because I've been through the system. It's very rigid. It's very there is a way to measure success, and people who have gone before us create criteria to create success. And so for me, I feel that really restricting, because within the arts, you can create your own success. And yes, people do judge you in terms of competitions and things like that, but you can kind of feel it in a different way. With arts, it's a feeling. It's more of a feeling of leaning into something, leaning away into something. And for me, I understand that easier compared to the sciences. And so I feel like arts is a really important component in terms of just being a person to help with your work and with your research. So yeah, I definitely think arts is great. Let the arts be incorporated into the STEM acronym. Another comment from Rita Manley. So awesome. It would be great to hear interviews with Pacific women in science in the region, like all these amazing women that she listed. Thank you so much. And hear about the inspiring career pathways and research. Hope you're okay, ladies, with me suggesting that. Yes, thank you so much, Marita. I am definitely creating a list of people that I want to talk to. Because, man, everyone has a story and everyone has a journey and everyone has something to contribute and something to inspire another person. So thank you so much, Marita. I'm looking forward to messaging those ladies. Another, I guess, a comment from this, from Terence Easthope. How do Samoans, including all Polynesians, Maori, stop eating too liking much? Science must have a chemical remedy to lessen Samoan women's bodies to become a more slender type, including Buaka men's physiques. I'd volunteer for Bruce Banner experiments. I need our tit bells, beetles. Some of that I did not understand, but I think what you're trying to say is that is there a chemical remedy to lessen someone, woman's bodies to become a slender type? There's a lot to unpack in this. I would ask you, why would a woman's body need to become a more slender type? What we're finding now is that for when you physically look at a person, one, not necessarily the skinny person is going to be the healthiest person. So with our study, we actually do measure body composition through a DEXA scanner. So it breaks down our body into bone density, muscle mass, and fat mass. Because when we stand on the scales, we get a number, but not all of that number is fat, you know what I mean? So the body composition in the DEXA can break that down for us. And so we can give you that DEXA scan if you wanted to come into the clinic. So in terms of that statement, I would be wondering why you're wanting women's body to become more slender. In terms of a chemical remedy, I'm not sure if you're referring to like a drug or not a drug, like bad drug, but like I think for some, I'm not completely sure because that's not my area topic, but possibly in preparation for bariatric surgery or something like that. I'm not sure if you're meaning that type of chemical or in terms of like a new chemical in terms of internally that we naturally make. But when it comes to, when you talk about your point, stop eating too flaking much, in terms of eating, that's just so many things, right? That's behavioral, mental, body perception, body dysmorphia. I mean, wouldn't it be great if we could all just take a pill and all of our problems would be fixed? And so when you're talking about addressing eating, it's not going to be fixed with a chemical remedy. And I mean, I feel like you're asking the wrong question. Like, how do Samoans, including all Polynesians, Māori, stop eating too much, flaking much? It's like there's so much within that. Well, it's not because we're eating. It's not just stop eating. It's why we're eating. It's our environment. It's our socioeconomic areas. It's the cost of living. It is our lifestyle, our time constraints. It is our, some, you know, within our culture, food is so important. When we give lots of food, we're showing our love. Like when I think of Samoan culture, we always have gunga'i, which is Sunday lunch. We have a lot of food for lunch, and then we eat, and then whatever's left over from that lunch, then we'll have for dinner. Or sometimes we'll just have some like flour and baka for bread and butter and tea. And so I really have an issue with why you ask this question, because there's a lot of missing knowledge in the way that you ask that comment. But thank you, Terence Easthope, for providing your opinion. And from what I know of, there's no chemical remedy at the moment to stop, to lessen someone, woman's body to become more slender. And for me personally, I wouldn't, why would we need it? Disagree. Okay, next comment from Last Man Zeph. How do Samoan people see their future relationship with Asia? I don't know. I am one person who is Samoan living in New Zealand. Some people do not even consider me a Samoan, and I do not represent the Samoan culture. But what I do know is that within Samoa, there is a lot of Chinese influence. Now, within the Samoan culture, we have had in history Chinese who basically slave labor. Chinese were brought over to Samoa to work in the fields. And so a lot of our, even my partner, and a lot of other Samoans, they will have mixed heritage, so Samoan Chinese, and there are a lot of Chinese last names as well. And so a lot of those people have been incorporated to Samoan culture, and they are, you know, accepted and really embedded. But now we're seeing a new wave of Chinese come into Samoa. They are, there's a lot of political talk around that in terms of money. I know a lot of buildings have been gone up, have been going up in Samoa that have been funded by the Chinese. And so that's really my knowledge of the relationship with only China, but I'm not sure with other areas, countries in Asia. So I can't really comment on that. Those are my puppies crying in the background. Yeah. Thank you everyone for your comments and your statements. Yeah, Fafatai Mole Amanoa. Thank you so much for listening to Samoan Scientist Podcast.